On Good Shepherd Sunday, we, in this archdiocese, particularly make a focus of vocations, particularly to the priesthood and religious life. That's why you've got that special collection envelope there, to, as I said, to help with the education of priests. But let's just start back a little bit before then. I know one little story where the priest got up before Mass and he said to the people, "I'm being moved from your parish. Jesus led me to this parish, and Jesus will lead me from here to my new parish." Then the congregation stood and sang the entrance hymn, "What a Friend We Have in Jesus." That's not my experience in this parish, or in my previous parish, actually, at Young. That's certainly not my experience. And what we shared in yesterday in this project, working together, really highlighted for me what a wonderful community this is. The priests are encouraged to tell a little of their story on this Sunday, and I don't wish to delve too much into that, but I might just relate to you on Good Shepherd Sunday, when we focus a bit on trying to get vocations to the priesthood and religious life, just focus on the fact that the priesthood as I knew it has changed dramatically since I was ordained. I was ordained 33 years ago this year, so it's not missed on me the fact that Jesus only did 33 years in ministry as well. I've got through Easter, so I'm doing okay. But when I was ordained, or when I went into the seminary, I will be very honest with you, I did not go in with grand ideas of saving the world or bringing lots of little Catholics to the church. That really wasn't on my radar. I went into the seminary primarily, not for selfish reasons, but I really wanted to know God and know God better. And I thought that that was the best way of doing it. I also went into the seminary to get rid of a bug that was biting at me, something that was nibbling at me. And I thought, well, once I go in, I will have ticked that box, and as I leave the seminary, saying that I knew that it wasn't for me. So apparently I'm a very slow learner. And as I have grown in my priesthood from dark hair to grey hair, I have also, I think, matured in my priesthood. And I would say that that's probably the same with married life, for example. Very few people, I think, exchange vows and it's just bliss and love every day is a day on the beach from there on in. And so it is with priesthood. I think we grow into the relationship. I certainly didn't receive a tap on the shoulder and big hand came through the clouds. So my growing into my priesthood has been quite a journey, to be honest with you. And part of that journey has been flavoured by the events of the church that I fell in love with. And those events primarily are criminal activity of my predecessors, those who've worked in the church and those who were ordained in the church, which I knew nothing of when I went into the seminary in 1980. So where I am now in my priesthood is very different than where I envisaged myself being 33 years ago. And that's because of other people's actions. I can also be very honest and say to you that in 2018, it is a real challenge to be a priest in a Catholic church. A real challenge. When I was ordained, I wore my collar a little bit, not too much. These days, I rarely wear it. I have, in recent years, experienced everything from being sworn at to publicly being called a paedophile to coming out of St. Mary's Cathedral after a wedding and being spat on by a complete stranger. It has had its challenges, I will tell you, and I'm okay with telling you that. Has that tainted my priesthood? I think what it's done has, it has stolen some of the joy. Other people's behaviour has stolen some of the joy that I had in that romantic idea 33 years ago, well, nearly 40 years ago since I entered. But it hasn't destroyed what I had in mind as the vision of my life. And as it has unfolded, I am probably more confident now than what I was all those years ago. I am probably a more compassionate person now than what I was those years ago. I am probably more focused now truly on God's people than on my priesthood now. That has been a work in progress. Tonight or today, I'm actually wearing my ordination vestments, the ones that I was ordained in, which I designed and I had a friend make. The chalice that I'm using in my ciborium are the ones that were given to me by the parish of Tamora, where I was ordained, because I was baptised in that little country town as an adult. I received all of my sacraments. I made my first communion there at Tamora, confirmation, first confession. I never got married there. That's a good thing, trust me. So all of my sacraments were there, and so it was the people of Tamora that gave me the vessel that I'll be using for this Mass today. And I do remember them in this Mass. So the journey of my priesthood, whilst it's been quite normal in some regards, has had lots of things that are particular and unique to me. And that would be the same with every priest. Mine is no better, no worse. But I need to tell you at this time, when things are quite difficult, that there is a lot of joy in my priesthood. There is a lot of happiness in my priesthood. And where do I get that from? I get it from the encouragement and the affirmation of the people who are in these pews. And they come primarily from three areas that I'll just focus on in closing. Firstly, it comes from those parents who are still sitting in these pews who've buried their sons as a result of abuse from the Catholic Church. Those parents and grandparents are still here. So they're a great example of endurance and, I hope, forgiveness. I find that very humbling. The next thing is that actually in the seminary for our diocese at this time, there are five young men studying for the priesthood. That is truly encouraging. When the world would say to us, it's a bad thing, the church is a bad thing, and those who are in it, particularly leadership, are bad people, these young men have taken up the challenge and are stepping forward. And the third area is that in the last five weddings that I have performed, we don't get very many weddings these days in the church, the last five, including last weekend's, have all been nuptial masses. They have been a sacrament celebrated by people who actually live in and celebrate their life as practicing Catholics. That's very unusual. So it is unusual to want to go into the priesthood. It is unusual for you to want to be here after great suffering. I find those things very inspiring. And I want to thank all of those who touched me in some way. I said, this is not a touched me positively in affirmation, I mean. So this is not a reflection so much about me. It's more a reflection about how grateful I am that you are still here. In 1977, I read a book called The Seven Storey Mountain by an author by the name of Thomas Merton. Some of you will know him. Deacon Matt alluded to him last week. Thomas Merton became a Cistercian monk after a fairly colourful life. I read the book because he was a journalist, which is my previous background, and he became a Catholic as an adult. He was more energetic in the night time than I was. He fathered a little boy, the woman, the mother of his child, and the son were both killed in the bombing of London. And then as a result of that and his inquiring mind and probably broken heart, he journeyed into the Catholic Church and then into a Trappist monastery as a monk. He only ever left the monastery twice, once he went there. And the second time, he was accidentally electrocuted giving a lecture in Bangkok. Great author, great spiritual author, and may well be canonised. This is the prayer that I took on in 1977, not knowing what I was doing, really, but asking lots of questions. This is the prayer that I pray very regularly, and I'd just like to leave it with you this morning in these days on Good Shepherd Sunday, by Thomas Merton. He says, "My Lord God, I have no idea where I am going. I do not see the road ahead of me. I cannot know for certain where it will end. And nor do I really know myself. And the fact that I think I am following your will does not mean that I am actually doing so. But I believe that the desire to please you does in fact please you. And I hope I have that desire in everything that I am doing. I hope that I will never do anything apart from that desire. And I know that if I do this, you will lead me by the right road, though I may not know anything about it. Therefore, I will trust you always, though I may seem to be lost and in the shadow of death. I will not fear, for you are ever with me, and you will never leave me to face my perils alone." I give you that prayer, and it may apply to whatever sphere of your life you are experiencing at the moment.